Give us some background how blacks were treated before we move into the sit-in story. Restaurants, water coolers, bathrooms in 58.
Well, we had Jim Crow laws. We had laws that segregated us here. Many of us know our history to the point that in the South, you were not expected to cross over those lines. Something is wrong with that picture. Anytime you look up and you are separated because of the color of your skin, it didn't take a rocket scientist for you to know something is wrong and we need to change that. And I like to use the First Amendment of the Constitution that allows you to assemble and to petition. Those were rights we had to change those laws we thought were not equality laws. You couldn't live here because of your color. You couldn't go to this school because of your color. You couldn't eat here because of your color. You couldn't go to the recreational park because of your color. You couldn't go to this bathroom because of your color. You couldn't drink out of this water fountain because of your color. The list goes on and on. And when you look at that, your inner self said, something is wrong with this picture. And when Clara Luper would talk to us in class and invite us to be a part of the sit-in because on Saturdays we were making a change, we were ready to go.
She was on the Oklahoma City NAACP Youth Council.
Yes, she was. She was a member of the Adult Council, and she became the NAACP Youth Advisor. She did another play. I didn't mention the play that came into the picture with the sit-in. Brother President, she wrote that play. She took a group. I didn't go, but it was in, I believe, 1957. They went to New York City to perform that play, Brother President. Brother President was about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And on their way, and they'll tell you, and she will also tell you, they took the northern route to New York City, and they got to see what it was like not to have those signs to separate you. And on the way back, they took the southern route, and they could see the difference. So when they got back here, they had been trying to change the laws anyway, and especially where you were eating in separate facilities, but they couldn't get them changed. And 13 young people, including her son and daughter, Calvin Luper, Marilyn Luper, met, and they decided, let's just go down there. And that's how it got started.
A cute story here. Mm-hmm. On their way home from New York, they stopped in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
To visit Arlington Cemetery.
Yes, and they got to see all of the headstones of those who had died for freedom. When you look at that picture, because I've been there, that's an experience that gives you chills to say they've given their lives. We may have to give our life. And that's why it was not hard to be a part of.
They stood at the tomb of the unknown.
Of the unknown soldier.
When the child asked what would happen if the unknown soldier's casket was opened and they would find out he was black.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
And to be truthful, that's the message we are preaching today with our young people and to all people. If you look at the history, look at the contributions of African Americans in this United States. And when you look at the contributions we have made, how dare you deny me the opportunity to have the same opportunities you have?
There was a saying, the sooner state, the sooner we get rid of desegregation, the better off we'll be.
Well, that's a good saying. It's a good quotation. We needed to get rid of it before they put them on the books. But because they had them on the books, we were going to take them off the books.
The sit-in became a project of the Youth Council to eliminate segregation in public accommodations.
That's right. In fact, when Katz opened their doors, there were other restaurants that were segregated. We left them and went to others, Animal. There were just many restaurants that did not allow you to eat there.
But even before she went to Katz, she made an appeal to the city manager, to the city council, to the white churches, mm-hmm. and they all turned a deaf ear.
And they all said that they had a right to not serve you basically is what she got as a response, that people could choose not to serve you if that's what they wanted to do in their businesses. The city council, they all didn't want to get involved. Churches didn't want to get involved.
I think even some black churches did not
support. Yes, and the black community, they were afraid. They knew this was, I would say, an issue that couldn't be won. That's what they thought. If it hadn't been for Clara Luper saying we can, we probably would still be segregated. That's why even when she was our teacher, we didn't think of her as a hero. She was just our teacher. And she emphasized some things in her classroom. She wasn't trying to make us the kind of students to go against the laws that we had, because she taught us to do it in a peaceful way. When you had any objection to anything that you did not agree with, but she did make it real to us that we are citizens of the United States of America. And because we're citizens, we should have the same rights as any other citizen, not only here in the state of Oklahoma, but in the United States.
Then the motion was made to the council. I move we go down to Katz and order a Coke.
That's what happened. And I believe if they had served them, they probably didn't have the money to pay for it. But at any rate, that was the goal, to go and integrate Katz. That was the first one.
You said you were 11. You knew this was going to happen.
Well, not at 11. You know, we didn't have social media back then. We didn't have televisions, many of us, in our homes back then. So the information I got primarily came when I became a student of Clara Luper.
Okay, so your lives hadn't connected yet.
Well, family. She was at the school, and I was at the school. Everybody knew of a Clara Luper. And to be truthful, if I had a choice, I probably would have taken another teacher, because Clara Luper was tough. And the word was, she was hard. No one wanted to go to a teacher like that, especially at that young age. But we had no choice. And that's why I'm thankful today that we didn't have a choice. She was our teacher, and she was the history teacher at that time. That's grades 9 through 12. In fact, probably junior high. We didn't call them middle schools at that time. She taught junior high as well. But I got involved more with the sit-in movement when I was in high school, ninth grade.